Are you struggling with kids fighting, yelling, and more despite listening to the podcast and reading all the books? Parenting can be so overwhelming and exhausting. You know, I see you and I have something that will help. Mindful Parenting SOS. I'm offering free live mindful parenting sessions starting Monday, May 6th. Basically, live mindful parenting lessons that you normally have to pay for. So if you struggle with getting your kids to listen, tantrums, misbehavior, and feeling the guilt of yelling at your kid, then you should definitely get your spot in Mindful Parenting SOS. I'll be there to answer your questions in person, and if you can't make it, we will have replays available. Don't wait to get your spot now. It's free. Go to mindfulmamamentor.com/SOS to register. That's mindfulmamamentor.com/SOS. I can't wait to see you there.
It's not about being selfless, right? Reminding yourself of who you are, your values, your needs in order to be a good mom.
You're listening to the Mindful Mama Podcast, episode number 347. Today, we're talking about whether you are a selfish, selfless parent with Dr. Jenny Wu. Welcome to the Mindful Mama Podcast. Here, it's about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. At Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have, and when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm your host, Hunter Clark Fields. I help smart, thoughtful parents stay calm so they can have strong, connected relationships with their children. I've been practicing mindfulness for over 20 years. I'm the creator of Mindful Parenting, and I'm the author of the best-selling book, Raising Good Humans, a mindful guide to breaking the cycle of reactive parenting and raising kind, confident kids. Hey, thank you so much for listening. I'm so glad that you are here with us on the Mindful Mama Podcast today. Hey, listen, if you have not yet done so, hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And if you have ever gotten any value from this podcast, please do me a favor and go over to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating and review. It just helps the podcast grow more. It takes 10 seconds of your time, and I really greatly appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. In just a moment, I'm going to be talking to Dr. Jenny Wu, a Harvard educator and creator of the award-winning 52 Essential Conversations. Her social-emotional learning games are used by parents and teachers in 50-plus countries. And we are going to be talking about this idea, you know, that a good mom is a kind, selfless, and caring idea. And is that true, right? We're going to talk about, are you a good enough parent, right? And we're going to talk about, like, why do parents become helicopter parents? And in fact, what do children actually need? What do they really need to have that essential social emotional learning so that they can regulate their own feelings, right? Essential stuff. Before we dive in, I just want to let you know that the Mindful Parenting Teacher Training is now enrolling for the fall. Do you want to bring Mindful Parenting course? Do you want to bring that to your community? Maybe you're a therapist, maybe you're a teacher, a doula, or you're just like super passionate about parenting. Then you might be perfect for the Mindful Parenting Teacher Training Program. It's a 5-month intensive program. It can be done from anywhere around the world, and it gives you literally everything you need to bring mindful parenting to your community. So to learn more and apply to the program, go to mindfulparentingcourse.com/teach. That's mindfulparentingcourse.com/teach. And now join me at the table as I talk to Dr. Jenny Wu. So I love this story that you share. You did a TEDx talk and you shared a story about how you screamed at your husband for not cooing at the baby. I was wondering if you could share that story and kind of where your mind was at the moment.
Sure. So I am a parent of three now, but back then as a new mama, right, of one, and just being with your new baby, you witness every single little, you know, coos and changes. And so it was this period of time when our baby started cooing and making sounds. And I was just like, you know, yes, talk to me. And then there goes my husband. He just didn't quite share this very same enthusiasm and sort of curiosity as I did. And I was just like, you know, first I got a little peeve. I being a person who worked in human development, I said, you know what, I'm going to give him more time. I'm going to do some role modeling. I'm going to just see, you know, if my husband is going to start cooing back, if that breakthrough is going to come. And, you know, I think I waited
24 hours later.
Exactly. Patiently for 24 hours. Still no cooing responses back, that reciprocation. And so like, I got mad. I think it was the combination of hormones and just kind of like, how could you not feel what I'm feeling in such expressive way that I am, you know? So I screamed at him. I was like, coo back, what are you doing? You know? So that was the context of screaming at my husband. Not the first time.
How did he take it?
You know, I think he was probably a little bit taken aback, but to be honest, I mean, being a new parent, you're probably screaming at a lot of different things, right? Get the milk ready, get the bottle, wash the bottle. The baby's crying, you know? So he was a little taken aback, but I think in the midst of everything, it was another sort of thing that he needed to think about, my poor husband, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's really a growing process for the both of us, right? I think it's not only understanding this new life you've created together, but it's also understanding each other and understanding yourself through the process.
Yeah, yeah. And so you were wanting to be, and you shared in this, I could relate to this idea, you know, you wanted to be a good mom. Obviously you were very intense about cooing, you know, you wanted to do things right. Obviously now you're like, you know, you're a Harvard educator, you know, you're one of those people who like gets the good grades and does the things right. Probably. I'm just going to make a guess here about that. And so that with the cultural, you know, directive of to be a good mom, you're selfless, you're caring. And you talked about this idea about the good mom and how you were kind of like having some friction with that. And I was wondering if you could just like talk about that a little bit, the problems that you were coming across with that.
Yeah, I think there's such an expectation, both just right up front in your face, but also the underlining expectations for women these days, you know, what being a good mom means. And a lot of the times it means, you know, we use this word selfless, sacrifices, right? Those are the things that we cherish, right? Those are the selfless mom moments where, you know, you look anecdotally, you know, you see a post, you see somebody do, you know, that warms your heart. But what is not being said, which rubs me the wrong way, is really what does this woman need, right? What do you need? And how can you fill up, you know, your what you need, right? Put that oxygen mask first in order to continuously sustain this type of energy to be there for your child, for your family, to be selfless in a way, right? So I think that's why, you know, you mentioned my TEDx talk. I sort of played on that word, right? I said, it's not about being selfless and it's not about being selfish, but it's about being selfish, right? Reminding yourself of who you are, your values, and you need your needs in order to be a good mom in the very whole sense for your child. And when I say whole, you know, we also talk about the whole child approach, right? But what about the whole parent approach?
Yeah. I mean, I love that. Did you find yourself getting not like in that first year, did you find yourself not meeting your own needs? Did you, or getting burnt out, or, and what did you do to self-correct from that?
Yeah, I definitely found that, but I don't think it quite surfaced as, you know, I'm getting burnt out. I need some support. I need to do some self-care, but it was rather at the time, very initially, it was, what is wrong with you? Right? Mm-hmm. Why can't you handle it? Right? And it's a lot of moments of that Pinterest type of, this is how it looks. And then here I am, this is my picture of the Pinterest fail, right? Type of moments. And you sort of, you feel very conflicted because, you know, I teach emotional intelligence and I study it, right? So emotions are essentially cues, they're data. They tell you what you need, right? And when there's a need that's not being fulfilled, it could, you know, manifest into resentment, right? And to self-blame and to guilt, shame. And those are the things, but if we don't know what the emotion is really telling us and we're sort of cognitively interpreting it in such way that's saying, you know, you're not selfless enough or you're not tough enough, right? That is going completely the opposite way. So I think, you know, to answer the latter half of your question, like, what did I do to kind of correct that, right? Honestly, it's been a process, right? You don't just one day wake up and say, ah, here I am. I want to focus on myself, right? No, I think it's very much a process. And it's one of those things where you continue to feel like the grass is greener on the other side. Why can't I do this? If I had this, it would have been better. But it's really understanding slowly what you need. And honestly, what has helped me is to start working in the schools. To understand other parents, teachers, and children, and what's happening in their context. And that is really the reality of things that normalizes for you. I'm like, oh, I had my aha moment going, well, everybody is struggling. Mm. Everybody is trying to do the best they can under the circumstances for their children. And guess what? Everybody's doing it differently, but that doesn't mean that they don't love their children any, you know, less, right? So that is the aha moment for me. Do my best, but also understand, you know, if you do the best for yourself, then it helps you do better for everyone.
I love that idea of like what normalized things for you was this community piece, right? This not being an isolation piece, this piece of like seeing other people and just kind of remembering that, you know, which is hard. It's harder even now. I mean, that's what the pandemic has made incredibly hard, right? Is the isolation. And so everything is mediated by the screens now. And so it's even harder, right, than it was. But that piece of like, oh, I'm not alone. Is huge, you know, even though this Pinterest North Star is all I'm seeing, like the truth is I'm not alone and we're all struggling.
Yeah. And you know, this reminds me of an article I actually just read a couple of days ago, and it was right now during the pandemic, which I have so many, we're officially out of the pandemic, the COVID jail in our household, by the way. So much to say on that front, but, it was a breath of fresh air when I read this article where a mom somewhere, I forget what state, she organized a little mini event where her neighborhood mom just come out to the track field and you just have a scream fest. In the night, you can howl, you can scream all you want, but just kind of letting out those frustrations and energy. Can you imagine screaming at the top of your lung, expressing your frustration finally, right? And then hearing other moms echoing through. So I was like, wow, that's actually very, very cathartic, refreshing.
Parenting can be loud, stressful, and rough some days. And we want to be able to go to bed and take care of ourselves in a really beautiful way. And that's why I love that Cozy Earth is a sponsor of the podcast. Cozy Earth offers bedding products that will transform your sleep. The bedding is temperature regulating, which is like a huge sleep benefit, has superior softness, incredible fabric, and incredibly high quality. All the products come with a 10-year warranty. Truly, incorporating Cozy Earth products into your self-care routine can enhance your sleep quality and your overall wellness. You deserve to treat yourself to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence after all the day's craziness of parenting with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear, and it's a way to prioritize your self-care and sleep health. You deserve it. And here's an exclusive Mother's Day offer just for our listeners. Use the code MINDFUL35 for 35% off. That's awesome. At CozyEarth.com. That's coupon code MINDFUL35 for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. It is beautiful here in Delaware. All the trees are blooming and all the flowers are blooming. It is gorgeous, but that means that people in my family and myself are suffering from some allergy symptoms. So I am thrilled to let you know about Astepro. You may not know about it. It's brand new. It's a first of its kind nasal allergy spray It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, but I swear, like, it started working so quickly. I used it right before I went for a run, and it worked so quickly. Astepro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief. So it could be like from cats as well, from nasal congestion, runny nose, itchy nose, and sneezing. I love that it goes right in my nose. So it's not like going in all the different parts of my body. It is steroid free. It is working so, so fast. Get fast acting nasal allergy relief with Astepro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astepro and go today. That's A-S-T-E-P-R-O allergy.com. Astepro and go. Use as directed for relief from nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itching due to allergies.
At one point, I think like when 2020 was over, the first day of 2021, I wrote 2020 on an old plate and I broke it in my driveway. It was really felt good to like smash that 2020 plate. I don't know about, 2021 has its own challenges, had its own challenges, obviously, but there's something to that, right? It's like that, those emotions of like frustration and anger and stuckness and all those things. Those are felt sensations in the body. That's energy in the body. That's muscles tightening. That's blood flowing. And that needs to be released to be processed, right?
Right. Yeah.
So cool. So this idea, right, of I need to be selfless and all that stuff, that leads to that. I think that personally, I was just going to ask you, like, why that parents become kind of a helicopter parent, but you talk about this idea of the helicopter as the selfish, selfless syndrome. So, I mean, this is like the busy, like I'm taking my 4-year-old to soccer, then we're going to swimming and we're going to like be getting dinner at fast food on the way home and that kind of thing. What's driving this and how can we break out of that cycle if we're starting to be in it?
Yeah. I was listening to one of your most recent episode where you gave the three advice, and I think that just entirely spoke to it. I think it was this, might have been the second one where, you cannot equate your mothering success, right, to the behaviors of your children. And I think when you become that helicopter parent, you are shielding, hovering, to ensure that your child is behaving and presenting, right, him or herself in such way that, meets your desire, right? And which then feeds into, hey, your self-message, right? I'm a good mom. I'm doing all this. There's no failing. There's no mistake. This is great. It's that Pinterest, right, picture again, right? Mm-hmm. So that is what I mean by like the selfish mom kind of thing. And so I love your advice, right? So to break free of that is really being mindful, right? That you and your children are separate people. And behavior is really also cues for your child to tell you, to tell the world what they need. And if there are negative behaviors, it's really a sign that there's a need that it's being unfulfilled, or perhaps your child needs help in articulating these needs because they're struggling with that, right? I think for me, having three children and two of which are twins, and they could not be any different. Let me tell you, could not be any different. Raised in the same household, gap of a minute in birth, but they are so polar different. And so that is a reality check for me. And, I cannot equate my success to their behaviors, and they are behaving like little own people and so differently, right? So I think for all of us, we have to understand it's a process of growth. They are learning, they are growing. Be patient with them, be patient with yourself, right? And they are not you.
Yeah, and growth means mistakes. Like I think that a lot of us weren't really allowed to make mistakes, right? Like, especially if we're like those achievement oriented kids, right? Like get the good grades, get into the good college. You know, you don't feel like you can make mistakes. And that's what growth implies. I think that the whole emphasis on like, oh, what did you, is who is it that tells you to ask your kids, what did you fail at today? Or, you know, I forget that was, or what'd you mess up today? You know, to just normalize that thing. I think that's a smart approach to kind of counteract this hyperachievement that there has been a push for so long.
Yeah. And, you know, I tell the parents, you know, you need to model not so much the perfectionistic parent, right? I encourage them to make mistakes. You know, if our children can witness us making those mistakes and learning alongside of them, I mean, I think that is more valuable than telling them from right off the bat, you know, to do this way, to do it correctly without making any mistakes. Again, normalizing rights within themselves and also role modeling that mistakes are good. And that's really, you know, when you practice a sport, when you practice an instrument, when you practice whatever, right? When I notice my kids get frustrated, you know, because they can't get something right. And I said, you know what, this is what practice is, right? To make mistake and to challenge yourself, right? So if we can reframe these things into something that is positive and it's a signal of learning, I think, you know, it would be a lot less stress on all of our parts.
Amen. Amen to that. Well, Jenny, what we're talking about here, which I think is so interesting, is that we're talking about like kind of an emotional intelligence, research-based kind of style of parenting, right? Where we're kind of understanding that behaviors are an expression of needs. But I think that a lot of, you know, the country as a whole is like moving very slowly, right? From a kind of behaviorist base of parenting, where you reward or punish behaviors that you want to see or don't want to see. And I'm wondering, you know, I'm wondering, like, is this style different from how you were raised, right? Like, were you raised in that sort of more old school behaviors way of parenting? And how did things change for you, if so?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm Chinese. I know there's a lot of stereotypes around, you know, the tiger parent. So we call the tiger mom and the wolf dads. That's what we call
wolf dads. I hadn't heard that one.
Exactly. New terms that I'm actually picking up myself. But interestingly, I was actually raised by panda parents.
Oh, that's so cute.
Pandas, they just sit and chillax, chew on some bamboo. So that was actually my upbringing, but it is a bit different because I was mostly raised by my grandparents and then was with my parents, my panda parents, when I was maybe like 10-ish. So well raised by my grandparents, they were not the tiger, stereotypical type of tiger parents either, but certainly when I was in China, right, the culture was very high achievement based. And it was because there's so many of, you know, large population in order at that time to differentiate yourself, to accelerate, you had to meet the grades, you had to do all that, right? Mm-hmm. So I certainly soaked in a lot of that, right? And I think by nature, personality-wise, I like to achieve and be that perfectionist, right?
Are you a first child?
I guess only child.
Only child. Yeah. Yeah. I just realized that. So first, only child. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. The combo. But I lived with my cousins who are younger. So just to complicate it a little bit more.
Okay.
I think dealing with that, you know, it served you well, I have to say. And having been a management consultant, doing a lot of coaching, leadership development, and the corporate workplace, it certainly serves you well to a certain extent, right? It probably got you into a good college, a good work, but I have to say, what got you there is not going to get you to the next level, whether it's the next level of work, the roles that you're in, and as a parent, it will honestly screw you right up. So that is when I got my lesson. I got schooled. And, you know, to understand that, I think, you know, you mentioned community, right? When you are in such a mindset of differentiating yourself, achievement, you forget the village, right? That it takes, you stand on the shoulders of the giant in order to be where you are. And, you know, this very importance of uplifting others, right? Instead of doing the combative, like, let's do this, we got to do this, move on to the next thing, right? So that's really important. And that's what I saw in the workplaces when some of the really high achieving folks, when they could not make the cut for the next sort of leadership level, they were actually not missing their skill sets, but they were missing that, right? And being able to be in tune emotionally to other people's needs.
I want to tell you about a great podcast that you should check out, especially if you ever deal with any school system, which you probably do. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Ortubé, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. And this season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP and busts common myths about special education. So I checked out the episode on the difference between IEPs and 504 plans because my daughter Maggie uses a 504 plan, and it was really, really helpful. It went over all the differences, which one's better, how to get them, different myths and what your rights are, all kinds of different things that you should understand if your child may need extra help in education through an IEP or a 504 plan. The tone is super helpful, friendly, and smart. I highly recommend you check it out. To listen to Understood Explains, just search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's it. Understood Explains. So my husband's had hair thinning issues for years, for a long time. It's not something he'd love to have, and he's done some things for it. But recently started using Nutrafol, and oh my gosh, we have actually seen quite a difference. Did you know that for women, hair thinning happens in approximately 1 in 2 women? And if you're among them, I want you to know that you're definitely not alone. It's normal, but it's not openly talked about, and going through it can feel lonely and frustrating. But you can join over 1 million people who are doing something about it with Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding, like my honey. Physician-formulated with drug-free ingredients, Nutrafol supplements support healthy hair growth from within by targeting root causes of thinning, including stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, lifestyle, and metabolism as they evolve throughout a woman's life. And while many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol's women's hair growth supplement for 6 months. With Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. Purchase online, no prescription required, free shipping, and automated deliveries to ensure you'll never miss a day. See results in 3 to 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code MindfulParenting. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code MindfulParenting. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code MindfulParenting.
Oh, so kind of like this sense of interconnection, right, that we really need right now. I mean, collectively, the world needs this sense of interconnection to be able to solve the bigger problems we need to work collectively. So you kind of shifted from sort of one to the other. I love that panda parents. That is so darn cute. And I'm just, I love that. So you came by nature to some ways, like to your, like, in you had like an achievement oriented, like, towards cooing, right? You're like, I must be like really soft, working hard on it.
That's, yeah, so like great. What is happening to me?
I love it. So You also talk about what both parents and children need, how it's the same thing. And I would just love for you to just clarify that, like this in your TED Talk, you talk about how we both need the same thing. I'll just let you take that from here.
Yeah. You know, honestly, we all need unconditional love and respect, right? Mm. With unconditional being sort of underlying and bolded. You know, the world is filled with obligations and expectations. As adults, we get that every single minute and second, right? And our kids have only been on this world for mere, you know, years, right? And yet we are burdening them with so much expectation. And if you do this, then you get to do this, you know, the reward pieces, right, that I see so much these days. And, you know, I hate to say this, and I'm at fault sometimes where, you know, we also use our love as a type of reward system, right? If you do this, I'm going to hug you. I'm going to smile at you. I'm going to love you, right? Mm-hmm. And how, you know, just it's a little tragic, right, in that sense. And, you know, many of us perhaps have grown up with the same exposure to this type of, you know, love conditioning, rewarding system, right? And you can imagine, you know, and I teach at the university level as well, so I get this a lot, you know, even at, you know, the 20s, early 20s, when they do their reflective writing pieces and how they talk, I can imagine, like, this is how you talk to yourself. Like, I will love myself more if only, right, fill in the blank. If only I were smarter, if only I was skinnier, if only I could do this, if only, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's the piece where no matter if you're an adult or a child, we all need unconditional love from each other and from ourselves.
This sense of acceptance, right, is what you're describing. Like, I accept you. And to accept ourselves unconditionally, to accept our kids unconditionally means we have to be able to manage and handle all kinds of emotions, right? Because to accept our kids unconditionally means to be able to display acceptance, even when they may be acting like a wild person or being really mean or having an attitude and things like that. How can parents do that? And also how are we feeding bad behaviors, right, if we are accepting of them?
Yeah, you know, oh my gosh, so much to say. So remind me. So first I'll talk the science piece, but accepting, you know, I think sometimes there is this fear in us that if we accept them, it might make them less motivated or maybe lazier or less willing to be better, right, to change, right? If we sort of endorse this type of behavior, if it's a bad one or this particular habit or this quirk of who they are, right? But I think that is not true. You know, I think our deepest fear of doing that so that maybe they're not motivated to push themselves is unfounded. And I'm just going to go back to the science piece and I'll put it together. So science-wise, I think as parents, we also have to recognize that our children's brain are developing, still developing. And in fact, the, you know, recent neuroscience research shows that our brain don't really mature till really way into the mid-20s. And, you know, fortunately and unfortunately for us parents, the part of their brain that really develops last is the rational brain, sort of the brain that really can kind of, when it comes to impulse control, when it comes to not blurt out something that is inappropriate or doing something that is, you know, highly sensitive and reactive, right? That is the last brain to develop. And one of the first parts of the brain to develop is actually the emotional part of your brain. It's a very primitive part of your brain. And honestly, that develops for survival purpose, right? When we recognize fear, we can, you know, do the flight, you know, freeze or fight, you know, accordingly. That is to help us survive. But this day and age, right, because the emotional part of the brain is so mature and reactive to things, right, it kind of hijacks our ability to rationalize, right? So when our child is upset or witnessed something, did something, or the sibling rivalry thing, right? They react. And we cannot always, you know, we can't fault them because why are you reacting to this? Why are you, you know, but that is because they are doing what they're supposed to do. It shows that the emotional sides of their brain are maturing. They are surviving, right? Protecting themselves, not in, you know, the most appropriate way, but they are reacting to their emotions, right? So as parents, again, we have to be patient, recognizing that they are developing. They are going through so much, right? From puberty and peers and all that stuff. So being able to help them, to support them in that process and recognizing and giving them the tools and the strategies to understand how they may behave otherwise, or how they may communicate their needs in a way that is really being heard and being seen. Right. Mm. So, yeah.
I love that. So, you know, so you're saying that these behaviors that may be acting out emotions that are reactive, like hitting the little brother or destroying the, you know, the little sister's toys or whatever it is, like those are things that are reactions to, you know, survival behaviors, feeling or emotions and feelings. Yeah. And so what we need to do in that moment is to accept that they're going to have these feelings. That's okay. The feelings are okay. But you're saying, what do they need to learn? What do they need to learn to express that in a way that's acceptable, right? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Giving them the words, right? The terms, the words to be able to articulate their needs, giving them some coping skills to understand, yeah, you know, some of these big emotions are unavoidable, but how can you mindfully diffuse that, right? Or, you know, if it happened, it happened, right? But looking back, right, what can you do that's better? And, you know, to be honest, this is not just kids, right? Us adults, we have our reactive moments. You know, it's like the time where, you know, you scream at your kid for screaming at, you know, the little sister, right? And you're like, wait a minute, I literally just screamed and told my kid to not scream, right? So I think it's also being mindful to be the role model, right? To model good behaviors. And you know what? If you don't, that's okay. Then to apologize and to revisit what just happened and collectively, you know, work on it together.
I have a lot of parents in mindful parenting who are learning skills like this, like how to regulate their feelings and how to communicate more effectively. And a lot of them, there are a good number that have a parenting partner who says, this is too soft, this is BS, all that stuff. What do you say to those people who are really skeptical of this approach?
Yeah, I do have moms that are like, can somebody please explain brain development to my husband? He refuses to understand that our, you know, 3-year-old can't just stop a tantrum.
Yeah.
So, you know, I honestly, it's a process. I think for the adults, especially the skeptical ones, it's very much about unlearning. Right? Unlearning these sets of beliefs that you have about how we operate and how kids might actually operate differently because of biological, you know, physiological and all that developmental differences. So it's first, it's about educating them, you know, utilizing science, but in a very layman's term, right? And I ask, you know, how were you as a child? Right? How were you raised? Right? Did your parents scream at you or, you know, hit you or did something where you did something wrong? How did that make you feel? You know, and also asking them, you know, what does it take to be a good parent? What is a good parent? What does it look to you? What does it mean to you? And also what matters the most to you as a parent, right? In terms of your children, like what do you foresee them to be so that you can rest in peace, knowing that they're set for life, right? So I think it's bringing the big picture to really understand what it means to be a parent. The joys of parenting, right, is really in the process and helping them to accept and appreciate the process.
Yeah. It's hard, right? Like all of this requires like some bandwidth, some space, some time. And that seems to be getting shorter and shorter and smaller for everyone, right? Like as our world gets faster and faster.
Yeah. Can we just really acknowledge, right? I mean, all this is good on paper and said, right? But honestly, it has been so hard. We all have so much on our plate. And with COVID, I mean, it's incredible. Just we, you know, as a generation, like what we're going through, right? So I think the underlining point is also to be kind to yourself. I think that is also a really good starting point.
Good enough is like, exactly. That's like the top. That's the best we're doing, right? Anyway, is good enough.
Yes.
So tell me about the 52 Essential Conversations cards. I have them here, little playing card deck with a little brain on the front. What led you to develop these and tell me more about them?
Yeah, you know, it's actually very much on this similar topic, right? Who has the time for a book or a manual or, you know, especially I'm talking about the skeptical folks, right? First, there's no willingness. And secondly, there's no time. And so this double whammy, you're screwed, right? So I was trying to think of ways to sort of first, how do you diffuse skepticism, right? Can it be just playing cards, which these cards are? They're harmless little playing cards. And how can you help people recognize the beauty of parenting, the joy of the good and the bad, right? Through conversations, through everyday conversations that happen, whether you're in the car to school, you're waiting before a, you know, a game on the soccer field, right? Or, you know, before bedtime. So I wanted to create something that is just easy as it can be, but at the same time, as evidence-based as it can be. So when I was researching at the Harvard Graduate School of Education, sort of half child development, that neuroscience aspect, and the other half in education, I thought about, can I make these playing cards where parents can engage in these conversations that don't naturally come, you know, wherever, that needs a little sort of nudge, right? So that they can truly understand each other and themselves. And you know, like when you try to lecture your child, whether it's a teen especially, right? They're not gonna listen. You're gonna get the eye roll, you know? And if you try to schedule time with your child, it's really, really hard to get that undivided attention. So the cards come with you. You go anywhere you like, whether it's hiking, you pull out a card and they're actually curated in a way that it's focused around emotion regulation, self-awareness, social skills, building healthy, meaningful relationships, right? And making good, responsible decisions. And it's also curated by age, sort of by your developmental, like what is an easy concept and what you can build upon that easy concept progressively. So it's curated in a way that you can just look at the cards. You're like, I know I would like to play this card and talk about it, right? And so that really is the purpose. And honestly, I say these cards are the training wheels. It actually brightens up my day to know that you no longer need the cards, that it's just a habit, right? It's another conversation that you can say seamlessly, right, on your own as a household. That is when you've achieved it.
Yeah. I mean, so some examples here are two of hearts. Expectations. Name three things that your family expects you to do at home. What do you expect yourself to do every day? Four of hearts, curiosity. Come up with an I wonder question about something you saw or did today. I love these. I wish I had kind of used them when my daughters were little. I think now that they're 14 and 11, they might be a little, they would give me the big old eye roll if I started to pull out the mind brain cards at this point. But we have conversations, maybe not quite in the same way, but I love that. And do you, how do you see, what kind of ages do you see people using them at?
Yeah, this is a, I love that you mentioned about sort of your personal example. So the yellow card, the 52 essential conversations is really around, I would say, you can kind of support your child at the preschool level, but it goes up to upper elementary school, middle school-ish. But then I also have three other decks of cards, which kind of progressively layer on. So there's the relationship, 52 essential relationships, and that is more of middle school, high school level, as well as between couples, right? How can we diffuse tension, right? Mm-hmm. How can we truly hear and be heard? And it also supports our children in finding sort of mentors and asking for help. So that's another one. And then I have the coping skills, which was inspired by the pandemic. And that is actually high school all the way through adults, and the fourth one as well.
Oh, wow. All right. Awesome. I love this. So obviously, Jenny, you know, you care about like human relationships, right? Like relationships between parents and kids and parents and their partners and all these things. Do you think that, do you think people are giving their relationships enough? Like, are we investing enough in our relationships? And what are some things that we could do to invest in our relationships a little bit more if we're not?
Yeah. Again, you know, it's sort of all relative, to be honest. And there is only so much time in the day, right? Mm-hmm. And again, you know, I just read somewhere, especially, you know, sort of the midlife around that age, 30 to 40 something-ish, especially for women, we tend to lose a lot of friendships because we're just tapped out. We don't have a lot of time. And it's something like we could be surrounded by people, but yet we feel so isolated and lonely, right? And I think to work on that is a lot of the times, again, this goes to selflessness. We want this particular persona, you know, we want to be seen as that mom, the selfless mom, or the mom who is doing really well. But I think it helps if we ask for help, actually. We give help and we ask for help. And we show that we are vulnerable and we just show our true selves, right? That we're not perfect. We're struggling. And by the way, hey, you know, oh, you're struggling too. You know, I think that is a great way of opening up that conversation and opening up that relationship. You know, and it is very hard to go out of your way, right? To make new friends. But I think we have to understand that that also fills our sort of our energy, our warm and fuzzy jar, so to speak, right? When we show kindness and we receive kindness with others. So it starts, a lot of the times it starts with our children's parents, right? With our community, with our neighbors, right? Or whether it's on social media, but I think it's even like just 5-10 minutes out of your day, send a text, right? Show someone that you care, go a long way.
I love that. I love that how I asked you, you know, I asked you about like our relationships and I talked about sort of kids and our partner and things like that. And I love how you pulled this back around to, you know, yes, these relationships are matter and important. We've been talking about them. We talk about them a lot. And this is these friendships, right? These other relationships, these also matter. Like all of these things, you know, it's not about like just achievement going. It's about what is the quality of your life? You know, you, dear listener, like what is the quality of your life? And what Dr. Jenny is saying to you is like, look at even your friendships, right? These things that you might be taking for granted at the moment, be in the name of achievement and doing and getting things done if you're in the middle of your life.
Yeah. And, you know, thank you for clarifying as well, right? I think the same approach definitely goes with our family, right? With our significant other. It's that 5-10 minutes. And I use humor a lot, right? I think something that brings a smile to the face, whether it's self-deprecating or, you know, just being amused at something you did or something the children that you share did in a really comical way, is a great way of just acknowledging each other and sort of this both frustrating but incredible journey that you're embarking on.
I couldn't agree more. Like the humor, self-deprecating humor really helps a lot in smoothing things, you know, when you have adolescent kids. Yeah. Silly voices surprisingly are great when you have really little kids, but also at all ages, silly voices are fabulous.
Yeah, definitely.
Jenny, this is such a pleasure to talk to you today. I really, really appreciate it. Is there anything that we didn't touch on that we missed that you want to bring to the forefront before we close out this conversation?
Wow, we covered so many. I really enjoyed our dialogue. I think, you know, this again traces back to what I mentioned, you know, let's be kind to ourselves. I think if you are kinder to yourself, you're going to be kinder to each other, whoever that other person that you may have in mind at this point, and kinder to our children. I think it's embracing the process, right? The process of making mistake and learning together. And honestly, that really is what makes life life.
That's so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much. And where can people find out more about what you're doing and the 52 Essential Conversations cards?
Sure. You can visit mindbrainparenting.org. I have tons of resources that you can look through, even some fun quizzes that you can play around about yourselves, your loved one and your children. So check that out. And then not very active in social media, trying to be more, but you can also follow Mind Brain Parenting on Instagram and Facebook.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the work that you do. Thank you for your honesty and your sharing and your learning and for coming on today to talk to us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Hunter.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. What an awesome episode. I loved talking to Dr. Jenny. So, so great. What are your ahas? I would love to know. Listen, if you love this episode, please do me a favor. Share it on your Instagram stories and tag me in it at Mindful Mama Mentor. You know, and you might as well then follow me there and fill your feed with some mindful parenting inspiration. And then if you're ever ready to take it further, learn more about the Mindful Parenting membership at mindfulparentingcourse.com. This is, you know, I love being able to offer this podcast, but the people I help most are those that join Mindful Parenting. You know, someone asked me recently, why is this different? Can I just read your book? And I put everything I have in the Mindful Parenting membership. I connect with people personally, one-on-one, three times a month. This is where you really get the rubber meets the road as far as getting the support, the accountability, and all the tools you absolutely need. It's awesome. So if you want to learn more, go to mindfulparentingcourse.com. I think that's it. That's all I got for you today. I'm so excited that we were able to connect today. I have an awesome episode for you again next week. We're going to be talking with Vanessa LaPointe about raising a spirited child. I got some spirited children. Do you? I'm sure I was one. So yes, please, please make sure you are signed in then. And I hope in the meantime that you have peace, that you have ease, and you have rest in your days. I hope you're able to be present for this amazing time, and I hope you're able to laugh at some of your mistakes and offer yourself some grace and compassion and all that we all need. It's hard to be human, you know? It's hard to be human and have little humans. Oh my goodness. So I'm wishing you all of those things, my friend. Thank you so much for listening. Namaste.
Say definitely do it. It's really helpful. It will change your relationship with your kids for the better. It will help you communicate better. And just, I'd say communicate better as a person, as a wife, as a spouse. It's been really a positive influence in our lives. So definitely do it.
I'd say definitely do it. It's so worth it. The money really is inconsequential when you get so much benefit from being a better parent to your children and feeling like you're connecting more with them and not feeling like you're yelling all the time or you're like, why isn't things working? I would say definitely do it. It's so, so worth it. It'll change you.
No matter what age someone's child is, it's a great opportunity for personal growth and it's a great investment in someone's family. I'm very thankful I had this.
You can continue in your old habits that aren't working, or you can learn some new tools and gain some perspective to shift everything in your parenting.
Are you frustrated by parenting? Do you listen to the experts and try all the tips and strategies, but you're just not seeing the results that you want? Or are you lost as to where to start? Does it all seem so overwhelming with too much to learn? Are you yearning for a community of people who get it, who also don't want to threaten and punish to create cooperation? Hi, I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and if you answered yes to any of these questions, I want you to seriously consider the Mindful Parenting membership. You'll be joining hundreds of members who have discovered the path of mindful parenting and now have confidence and clarity in their parenting. This isn't just another parenting class. This is an opportunity to really discover your unique, lasting relationship, not only with your children, but with yourself. It will translate into lasting, connected relationships, not only with your children, but your partner too. Let me change your life. Go to mindfulparentingcourse.com to add your name to the waitlist so you will be the first to be notified when I open the membership for enrollment. I look forward to seeing you on the inside. mindfulparentingcourse.com.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.